Going to talk now about the political repercussions of this announcement this particular Friday in Washington, D.C., with NPR's White House correspondent Don Gagne and NPR's national political correspondent Mara Liasson. Let's start with Don Gagne. Let's go back to what Larry said, Don, about the rumors, about the possible leaks that it could be the Vice President's Chief of Staff, Louis Libby, but not at this moment, and they're saying not today, of presidential advisor Karl Rove. So how would you read that if you were President Bush? How do you feel?
Well, we do have a firm statement from Karl Rove's attorney saying that a decision has not been made to bring charges on him, which means that the decision has not been made as of today, which means an indictment against Karl Rove will not be coming today. So the worst possible scenario for the White House would have been Karl Rove being indicted today. That is what they really did not want to hear. Now, that said, this is not good news for them. It's like it's a timeout for Rove. You're not being indicted today, but the special prosecutor is not guaranteeing that an indictment won't be coming at some undetermined point in the future. Now, we do, it appears, if what we're hearing is true, and we have not heard a statement from Scooter Libby's attorney saying he won't be charged or indicted today. If Libby is indicted, that is still a top aide, a very important aide, the most important aide to Vice President Cheney, facing an indictment. Mm-hmm. So relatively speaking, it could have been worse, but it is still certainly not good news or anything for the White House to truly breathe a sigh of relief over.
And if indeed it is Mr. Libby, he would be expected to resign immediately?
That's what we've been hearing, that anybody who faced indictment today on the White House staff would resign, and that we would hear from the president at some point after Patrick Fitzgerald makes an announcement. And then that person, having left the White House, would focus on their defense, the trial ahead.
Mara Liasson, tell us about Louis Libby. We know quite a bit about Karl Rove, that he is the chief political advisor to George Bush, the same kind of role that James Baker had for Mr. Bush's father. But what about Louis Libby and his relationship to Vice President Cheney?
Well, he's been called Vice President Cheney's alter ego. He's his top aide. He every morning before dawn, he gets driven over to the vice president's house, and then they ride in together to the White House. So he spends a tremendous amount of time with the vice president at disclosed and undisclosed locations. He was deeply involved in planning for the Iraq War. And he's a very, very important official to the vice president. Now, in political terms, what we're trying to judge is, are these people irreplaceable? In other words, if they are forced to resign, does that have political ramifications? Does their absence have political ramifications for the White House? And I think that Rove's absence would mean a lot more than Libby's. Rove is the architect, which is the name that the president has given him, of the president's political strategy. He's the glue that keeps the conservative coalition behind the president, keeps the base happy. I think that there are many conservatives who have said that he is irreplaceable. Louis Libby, on the other hand, works for a vice president who is not going to run for president himself, which is common at this point in a second-term administration. We're in an unusual period where the vice president is not the heir apparent. But Louis Libby is very important, but I don't think that his absence, if he does have to step down, if he is indicted, as reports suggest he will be today, will be felt as much as if that same thing happened to Karl Rove.
I want to remind the listeners we're talking in conjecture here, but continuing that line of thought, it's probably not too early to have heard names suggested to replace Louis Libby on Cheney's staff.
Don, I certainly haven't heard any.
No, you know something. I had the conversation with people today, and Louis Libby is such a unique figure at the White House. He has been so close to Vice President Cheney for so long, going back to the days when they had other jobs in other administrations. He is in essence Cheney's right hand man. He is his national security advisor. He is his chief of staff. There is not an immediate name, someone within the White House who you see who would be be elevated to that position. Nobody obvious anyway. So that raises the question, would they bring in someone outside? Obviously, Dick Cheney, should it come to this, is a man with many connections in this town. He knows many people. But right now, we don't know who might fill his shoes if he leaves.
And I certainly can't think of another time in history when so much attention has been focused on the vice president's chief of staff. Now, it's true that this vice president is the most powerful in history and the most influential in history, probably. But usually the chief of staff of the vice president is a pretty obscure position.
And truth be told, he is still an obscure figure to most Americans, yeah. Which is why this is perhaps, if it plays out like this, not quite as bad a news for the White House had it been Karl Rove. But still, as vice presidential chief of staffs go, he is a major player in this White House in ways that others in the job before him have not been.
Don, people have been counting the calendar pages here, 39 more months for the Bush second term. How would he go about turning things around, getting above this particular week, and moving his agenda beyond what they've called the background noise of these scandals?
And this is certainly as bad a week as this president has had, with the withdrawal of the Harriet Myers nomination to the Supreme Court yesterday. We're expecting, an indictment or possibly indictments today. And the president's approval ratings, really driven more by Iraq than some of these other things, are at or around their lowest point ever. But past presidents in second terms have had similarly low, even lower approval ratings, and they have come back. You do it literally kind of one step at a time. You try to compartmentalize, still carry on the work of government, and hope over time it turns around.
You know, one other thing about Libby being indicted and what effect that will have. I agree. Libby isn't responsible for the political strategy of the overall White House, but the fact that he was so involved in the planning for the Iraq War, any trial that he's involved with is going to really expose the thinking and the workings of the administration as in the run-up to that war and how they justified it after the fact. And that's going to keep that issue, which is a controversial one for the president now, on the front burner.
And again, Iraq being kind of the root of most of the president's political troubles right now anyway. And the story is very much about that and the justification for the war.
Thanks, both of you, very much. NPR White House correspondent Don Gagne and NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson talking with us from Washington. And to repeat, there has not been, we had expected, an announcement about the grand jury's findings, and we have not had that. And to further remind you, within 2 hours, we're also expected to hear Patrick Fitzgerald, the special counsel, come before the microphones and cameras and make an announcement explaining, talking to reporters about the contents of what the grand jury decided to do. We will continue to follow this story on this program throughout the day, more details on the indictments as they come along. And then at 2 o'clock Eastern Time, you can hear an hour-long special live report, including the Fitzgerald News Conference that I talked about, on our website, www.npr.org.